love, kindness, human connection. These are some of the things we talk about on the Danny Painter Show. It's a thing. This show is intended for a more mature audience. We might sometimes say bad words.
We've met them before many times. I feel like they're family now. Adrian and Frank from Neon Dreams. Hello. Hi.
Hello.
You guys are currently in South Africa. They've done a massive, massive South African tour. They've been absolutely everywhere. Even places that like no one goes to, like not even South Africans, they went there. they've been in studio, we've done Zooms, I've been to one of their shows, and they're getting ready to leave. So I thought it would be really cool to get you on the EXO TV show to talk a little bit about Neon Dreams. I also want to talk a little bit about the work that you're doing, the good that you're doing, and just about you guys. So talk to me about the very beginning, how you met, where you're from, who you are.
Oh, let's go all the way back.
All the way back.
All the way back.
Once upon a time, there was a kid. we both lived in Canada. I lived in Ontario until I was about 13 years old. And that's when I moved to a place called Halifax, Nova Scotia. That's when I got into music. And I started my first band. And our drummer at the time, we were getting ready for one of our big shows because we worked up to get to where we are. And our drummer at the time decided that he didn't want to play anymore. And we had 2 days to find a drummer. And that's when I met Adrian online. Like, he was on YouTube. A friend of ours, showed us his music, his covers. And I hit him up and it's just like, bro, can you fill in? You know, we have 2 days to learn this. And he learned all the songs in one day. And then we played the show, we rocked the show, and then we've just been friends ever since. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen him like almost every day of the year since that day. It's pretty crazy. And we've just been in different bands. We've been in 4 different bands together, just us two, until we landed on Neon Dreams. Yeah. So that was like pretty much the start of our path.
Yeah. And
we both met in high school. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I know also that like a lot of your team that you've traveled with are guys that you've met, that you had met in high school and have kind of never lost contact with, like your security as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like our security is one of your friends for like ever.
He's one of the first people I met when I went to high school and in grade 10. And our manager, Matt, he's actually a guitar player in our band, and I met him in grade 11 in the music room, and we were just jamming, skipping class and stuff, and I tried to get him to get in the band and he said no, and then I consistently kept asking him until eventually he agreed to be in the band. And then later in our lives he started to take on the business side of things, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just like family is like means a lot, and I think that means a lot to South Africans too. After being here, I can see that you guys love family.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, why we have the same hearts.
A bond.
Nice bond, yeah.
I think we've moved past bond now. I think you guys, it's in your blood now. You're here. But before we get into your South African adventure, because it's been a fucking adventure, how you guys were Neon Dreams for quite a while before Life Without Fantasies went massive on South African TikTok. You guys were having like obvious success in Canada and that side of the world. Talk to me about the success before the big TikTok thing.
Yeah, we've had like a few songs that have done like well in Canada, but our first like real bit of success was just from like, it almost like here, it was just like people that really enjoyed our music and spread it by word of mouth. We used to throw like, it was almost like we almost played a bit more like party-ish style music when we first started, and kids just like knew that our shows were a fun time and stuff, and they grew from being like small shows of like 50 kids to like thousands in our hometown and places around our hometown. It's funny how like at the end of the day, it's always the people that decide what music goes and what you know, people follow. So it was like when we were first starting, it was the same thing as like here. It was just like kind of like word of mouth and the people choosing it.
I've been to your show obviously while you've been in South Africa, and I've watched some stuff online of like previous things that you guys have done, and you guys seem to have never lost the connection to both yourself, like your actual self that we don't see, but also the connection that you have inherently with your fans and other human beings. And in the middle of a pandemic, even though you weren't touching people physically, that concert that I went to, that show that I went to, you guys have this insane connection. And I've got to wonder if that's a struggle to keep going, because you have kind of made it to a certain extent, right? And with that comes fame, people know you, money, the things that you've always wanted, the things that you've always attained to. How are you managing those two very different worlds?
I like that question. I guess the way you manage like life, anything that you're trying to do, like if you have purpose, like you have a reason why you're doing it, like you'll like get past that. Like, cause like, I know people always ask like, what's it like to like, you know, be famous and stuff. Like we have like just like goals in life, and we don't see it as like fame. It's just like people just know us more. That's all. Mm-hmm. And like, I want to like help. I want to like make a song that heals like so many people around the world. Like that's a goal of mine. So like people are like, I know that like people will eventually know me more if I work hard enough, like, but I don't consider it being like just famous. I don't know. I'm weird like that, but like I have like this purpose of like just wanting to see a lot of people smile, and I want to get there. And if nothing's really going to like, you know, I'm not going to lose connection. You know, I'm going to get there, and when I get there, and I'll see where I go next. It's no, that's where my mind's at.
How do you, both of you, both, and I'd like to know from both of you, you give so much online, you're always on Instagram, you're always talking to your fans, you're always answering, you're touring, you're seeing people. How are you filling your cup in order to fill others? What do you guys do for yourselves?
I go to retreats.
I want to ask you about that actually.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like it's just like, I mean, us filling their cup kind of fills our cup in a way too, you know, because like the biggest thing we've always wanted to do is do music and stuff like that. And then like for you, like going to retreats and stuff like that, I think that helps you. And then like I have my own ways where sometimes I just like turn off from the world for like a day or two and then I'm good, you know. It's like, yeah, you got to look out for like your mental health and stuff like that, because like at the end of the day, yeah, you do have to just like look after yourself, because you are giving a lot all the time. And maybe that, like, it does, it's the weird part about it is that it does fill your own cup while you do it, but you do have to have those moments for yourself.
For sure. Adrian, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what's happening in Canada at the moment. Sorry. So I think it's from South.
Hello, you call Canadian.
It's a thing when you live with boys, like everything is just you are boys that live with boys. you've been posting, I for some reason follow a lot of Canadians on Instagram, and recently there was a lot about a genocide that had happened there. And they were finding a whole lot of children that had been buried. And you were highlighting this. A lot of other Canadians were highlighting this. But I don't think that the rest of the world maybe knows. And I know this is something that's very close to you because of how you were posting about it. But can you talk to me a little bit about this and maybe educate me and someone else watching on what's going on and what's been happening?
So I'm Indigenous, and I'm part of a group of people called Algonquin. It's like a group of Indigenous peoples throughout Canada and the U.S. My grandmother attended something that's called residential schooling. And residential schooling was this system that was put in place in Canada all the way up until about 1996. And essentially, these schools were made to strip Indigenous people of their culture, and they started with kids is how they would do it. So my grandmother was taken from her family when she was 5 years old, and she attended residential schooling up until she was 18, and she never went home to her parents after that. She was just kind of like, here's the door, now you get to go live after attending these schools. A lot of kids didn't make it even out of the schools. A lot of kids died at those schools, just from being mistreated or malnourished or a lot of different things, you know? So my grandmother went to them. I never was fortunate enough to meet my grandmother. She didn't make it too far after that. She died when my mom was really young. But essentially what's happening in Canada is a lot of people haven't talked about it because there hasn't really been, it's so fresh, you know, 1996, was when the last one closed.
Wow.
So there hasn't been a lot of light shed on them, and it's kind of coming to light now because they're finding children's bodies in, unmarked grave sites, like mass graves. So there was that one in Kamloops where 215 kids were found. There was another one found yesterday. That's the numbers going to get announced today, but, they're saying like 700. So
how do we, who aren't Canadians, how do we show up for you, and how can we be better?
I think the biggest thing is just like awareness that was a thing that happened, because just people don't know. Even in like Canada, like I have friends asking me like, what was a residential school? Like people in Canada don't even know about it because it's not taught in schools really. And there's just not much awareness about it. It's kind of like this like hidden dark secret of Canada, you know?
And culturally.
So just awareness and sharing it and letting people know about it, you know?
And Adrian, culturally, how can we show up for you and your culture? How can we like spread the word that this has happened in the nicest and kindest possible way?
I guess the biggest thing is just like educate yourself about it, you know, like just like look into it, understand what happened and know the history behind it, because I mean, what has happened, but people knowing about it and keeping themselves educated and understanding why a lot of Indigenous people in Canada have been suppressed or affected by it, you know, because it's like it's a generational thing. Those things just don't stay with the generation affected. It gets passed on. All those traumas get passed on,
yeah,
through generations, you know. So,
on a light note, I wanted to just tell you, your gran was beautiful, and you look so much like her. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like so much like her. As Neon Dreams, like you guys, obviously you're very giving and you're very kind and you're very connected to the people that follow you and listen to you, but you don't happen upon this path. And I've said this to you guys before, without some really dark shit having happened to you, right? You're not going to give of yourself unless someone has had to give to you. Frank, can you maybe go first and talk to me a little bit about like your backstory, and how it's molded you into the human that you are today?
Yes, I guess started with my mom. I guess she had me when she was like, when she was 17, and she got kicked out of the house for it. So like most of my childhood, I didn't really have a childhood. It was just like really hectic. Like 13 years of my life, I didn't know it was bad until I got older. But like evicted all the time and sleeping in closets or like just in friends' floors or just like until I got to Nova Scotia. And yeah, no, it's just I was just put in a position of just like protect your sister while my mom goes to work, and my mom brought back food and protected us when she got back, you know, like that was the life. And then she got smarter and she went to school and got better. And when I started like going to high school and stuff, I couldn't like think like everybody else. I couldn't work like everybody else. I put in special classes, and my mom always said really cool things to me that I couldn't like do school anymore. And she's just like, you know, just don't do what you don't love, just do what you love. And you know, I was like, well, I love music, you know, I'm just gonna follow that, use that as a compass. And with all the things that happened to me as a kid, I found purpose within it. So I just don't want people to feel like I did growing up. So I'm going to show them how I got through it. I'm going to put it in the songs. And anything I ever learn in life, I'm going to put it into our music after I learn it. So that's how I keep going. That's how I stay humble. Like every time, even now, being in South Africa, I learned so many things. I got so many beautiful songs just from the lessons I've learned here. Yeah. I mean, we're always growing as people, so it's a beautiful thing. And I don't know, my story is still being written. Yeah.
And Adrian, you obviously also have a story. Everyone has a story. Would you share yours with us?
Yeah, I think my story, you know, a lot of it does start like with my grandmother and what she had gone through. And then my mother, just, you know, she was born with the card she was dealt and stuff like that, where she had to pretty much raise her brothers and sisters and grow up without a mother or a father around. And from there, she just like worked really hard to like give me and my brother like a beautiful life. And like she pretty much like lived to make sure that me and my brother had like the best life possible, you know. And that's really inspired me, seeing my mother do that, to work for my dreams every single day.
Mm. You guys have songs like High School Dropout, and you write about these very real things, right? And I relate to a lot of your music a lot. But there's obviously, and I mean, I've seen this in my friends' groups, you know, with some of us that did drop out and came from judgy backgrounds and past that, you know, weren't the best. But there are definitely two pathways, right? And some of us go on this way and some of us go the other way. The light and the dark, right? Because nothing is wrong and nothing is bad. It's just different. What do you think? And the reason that I'm asking this is because there's probably someone watching who is currently where you were at that stage, looking at their life going, well, there are two ways here. There is this not so great pathway that I could go, which is immediate gratification, probably money, a little bit of status in the town that I'm in, but it's kind of more leaning into like the crimey, druggy kind of side of things. Or there's the head down focus on a music or an art or school, whatever that is. How do you navigate that pathway? What is the inherent difference between like myself and you guys and someone else from your hometown? What do you think that is?
That's a good question. That's
sorry, deep.
That is a deep question. Just go with the, I'll go with the way I feel when you said what you said. I might not answer correctly, but I know I've been like I guess I've been so poor to the point where I thought about doing bad things a lot, because like I'm just like, what else do I do? I don't know how to do anything else.
Yeah.
And I mean, I got smarter over time. I realized like I'm just like an emotionally smart person, and I learn from people. I put myself around people. I had this like, I just thought when I was first started playing music, like I didn't know I wasn't really happy until I played my first few chords. And, you know, I went home and I put like three pieces of paper on, and I taped them together and I drew a fretboard on it, and I started practicing fake guitar. Like, I was so happy doing that, and you know, I decided like, anything that makes me feel this happy, I'm gonna follow it. Like, and I don't care what it is, I'm just gonna follow it. And 9 times out of 10, every time is music. Like, I couldn't do math in school and stuff. Teachers call me stupid and like call me out for not finishing stuff and not actually trying to help me. Like, I still didn't care. Like, I'm just like, music makes me happy, and so I'll keep following it. And I think anybody in a position of being confused, just, you know, take a look at what actually makes you happy and what doesn't, and like see where to go from there. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody's meant for like that what school says you're supposed to do. Not everybody, but you know, some people are. You know, there's just so many different pathways in lives, and you look at all your heroes, you should look at their backstories. You should listen to people that have what you want, because then you'll know exactly what to do. You know?
I spoke about the school thing on my Facebook the other day, because I dropped out. I don't have matric grade 12. I don't have any kind of qualifications. I just dropped. I left. I hated it. It wasn't for me. And I said as much in the nicest possible way. And so many people dragged me. And I think that we're so conditioned to believe that the standardized system is right for everyone. We forget that we're all so different and so unique. And that is inherently the power that we have, is that we're different. And it's okay for you to be good at school. And it's okay for you to not be good at school. It doesn't make you lesser than anyone else. And I think we put a lot of pressure on getting that piece of paper to be good, you know? So I'm really glad that you said that. And I'm just grateful that you guys are so honest about everything all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I try to be. You know, there's different types of intelligence. Like I've been in like in meetings and stuff where like I'm the smartest person in the room, and like about a certain subject, and other people are better than me at other different things, you know. And it's just like, that's life, you know. Some people are emotionally smart, some people are like logically smart, you know. Like,
yeah.
I can walk into a room and I can tell if something bad is going to happen. A lot of people can't do that, you know. Like, that's just an emotional thing. Like, so there's different types of intelligence, and not everybody can teach every type, you know. There's one standard one so far that's being taught, and that's what it is for right now. No changes.
Okay, let's talk about your South African adventure, because you've been here for how long now?
3 months.
3 months.
Wow. 3 months. And it's coming so quickly to a close. I'm getting nervous about having to leave.
But we don't want you to leave. Is there no way that we could like marry you off or like adopt you or son? Like, I don't know. We don't want you to leave.
I mean, how do we get our citizenship? Or like an extended visa.
Somebody call the president.
Okay. 3 months, you came here to firstly explore, to tour, to meet the people that are consuming your music. What have you learned about yourselves during these last 3 months?
A lot. Way too much to put into a couple words.
Give me the big one. Yeah. The big one.
I learned that we can do a hectic tour. That tour was like very wild. That was crazy. That was like a lot of shows.
17 shows in 2 weeks.
That's
no joke.
Like, I thought my body was going to just stop working. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but we made it through, and now I know how to do a tour like that. Mm-hmm. I know how to prepare for a tour like that. Mm-hmm. Like, we never had those kind of shows where a bunch of fans were just like screaming every word to the song. I can't wait to go back and just like make a new set and like cater to like South Africa, because I want to put on an even crazier show. Yeah.
What have been some of the, so you guys have done a lot. You've done Cape Town, Durban, Bloom, where else? Joburg.
Knysna. Port Elizabeth, Pretoria, Joburg, Durban. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of us.
We found out that we were the first international act to ever play in Nysa. That was cool. That was a fact I didn't think was a thing. And then the like promoter went in and like showed the research and was like, yeah, no, you're the first international act to ever play in Nysa. And I was like, that's wild.
Dude, I told you, you went to places none of us have been to. Like, you literally went fucking everywhere. I've never been to Bloemfontein. I know that that's shitty to say, but I haven't. You guys have played there.
And it's, like, pretty close to you, too. It's not that far.
It's 4 hours-ish. I suppose it's close enough.
Yeah, but I guess that's far for you guys. We're from Canada where, like, cities are, like, 16-hour drives apart.
Yeah, you guys have different time zones. Like, it's a lot. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit. So you did the tour. You did a lot of shows. But in between that, you were doing a lot of stuff and you were filming all of it. And there's obviously a documentary coming out. So I'm assuming we'll get into that. But what are some of the highlights? What are some of the best things that you experienced while you were here?
Every single time we play Life of the Fantasies.
Wow.
His face, I've never seen like so many people smile at the same time. Like, it's, like, time, like, it's still really cool. Like, I just want to like just bottle that moment up, you know, because that's never happened. It's the first time it's happened to us.
And every town and every city was really different and really unique, including the people there. So, like, to see how they all reacted differently, they all reacted in, like, a positive, crazy way. But, like, it was different everywhere. And it was exciting to see how people react in each place.
Ooh. What was the craziest crazy reaction? Because I think I know. But which town was the craziest crazy reaction?
It was Blom.
Yeah, probably Blom or Poch.
Yeah, no, Blom, I couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, our sound guy actually said it was the only time he's ever like not been able to hear us, so he couldn't tell if the sound was coming on because
it's like the song started and it's like they sang the lyrics. I was like, okay.
Wow. Usually, so I wear like earpieces on stage, right? And usually I leave one out and my left ear usually is like a little bit ringy after a show because I have my earpiece in there the whole time. But my right ear actually was like ringing after the show because the crowd was so loud.
Yeah. I felt like my head was vibrating.
You could feel, the shake of how loud the people were yelling the lyrics.
This is great. So you go shark cage diving, you go bungee jumping, you see the whole country, and your takeaway is the crazy people singing live your own song. I love this. This is beautiful. another question. You could just smile wryly at the camera. But have you guys lived while you've been here? I mean, you've been here for 3 months.
Yeah, I think so.
What do you say?
Have we lived?
What do you mean? Like, I'm alive.
No, like, have you lived? Like, have you had
a good time?
Have you played? Have you like sampled South African delicacies? Like, have you lived while you've been here?
Eating stuff. Yeah,
we're talking about food, right?
Yeah, you guys got good food, yeah.
Okay, noted. So while you've been here, you guys have obviously had John with you, a TikTok influencer. You brought Levi with you from Canada also, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I have the biggest crush on Levi. He is the most beautiful man I've seen in a very long time, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I also have a big crush on Levi.
Dude, I can honestly tell you if I was on tour, you know, there is, I think, there is one man who could take Harry Styles' crown from him, and it is that man. Like, it is coming.
Sounds like we should sample some Canadian delicacies.
I mean, I'm quite partial to coming and trying the food there. But you've been filming everything. What are you filming it for? What are we expecting?
I think we are. We're putting out a documentary about our whole experience here and how it's affected us, how the people have touched us, and I guess how we've touched them, I guess, because of the music and the reaction of it here, you know? I think a lot of that, like, self-discovery is gonna, you're gonna see it come out in that, you know, like you were asking about that, but I think it's gonna come out through that, because it is a real special thing that's happened here for us. You know, this country is like affected us deeply and like touched us deeply, you know.
Talk to me a little bit also about the work that you've done with the Justice Desk. How did you find them? How did that come about? And what is it that you guys are doing with them?
Did they reach out?
Yeah, they reached out.
Yeah, they reached out to us.
Yeah. They're early fans of the music. I remember that. I'm trying to remember it all. Like, we've done so much.
Yeah. They reached out, and I think we just really liked, like, the way they stood.
They brought us in.
They brought us in.
To show us what they do. Mm-hmm. And I just remembered, like, I love them because, like, when I was young, like, and bad things happened to me, there are people like them to, you know, be there for me. And it just reminded me of, like, the times I couldn't eat or didn't have a place to sleep, or I've just gone through, like, a traumatic experience and trying to figure out how to, just trying to talk again, you know, like, it's just people like that around.
You guys are going to obviously continue to work with them, even if you're not here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's different ways that we can work with them from afar. And there's been, like, some ideas tossed around and nothing, like, set in stone yet, but there is definitely ways that we're going to be able to continue working with them. And, I mean, we're coming back here a whole bunch. We're definitely not going forever, so we'll continue to work with them. But, yeah, I think the biggest thing is the way they stand for human rights and the way that they're there not to just, you know, support by saying, like, hey, here's some stuff. We're going to support these communities. They actually go in and they go, and there's, like, an education aspect to it. And also for people that are working with the organization from the outside, they make sure that they understand from their own side, you know, there's a lot of education with the way they run things, you know?
Yeah. So where to from here? Because you guys leave when? Soon, right?
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Costa Rica.
He's going to Costa Rica. I'm going back to Canada.
Okay, so you guys are splitting up. Oh my god, why? Why? Did you have, like, have you guys had enough of each other?
No. I'm just going on a journey. I'm a nomad. I don't live anywhere. Yeah. I don't have a home.
You do. South Africa. That's your home now.
Yeah, I think we're just going to take, like, a couple weeks to just, like, rest and recharge, because then we're going to go work on our next album after that.
Next batch of music.
So I like to do that at home. He likes to do that all around the world.
you get more ideas, like, when you're just traveling and seeing stuff, experiencing different things.
Speaking of recharging and resetting, Frank, you did a retreat. And it looked like the kind of retreat that I've always said I wanted to do, but I've always been kind of too scared to do. And I don't know how much you want to go into this, but can you talk to me a little bit about the retreat that you did?
Well, here, or, like, retreats I've done?
Here, the one that you went to here.
Well, I went to this retreat. It's called the Blue Butterfly, and it pretty much takes you on, like, take you on a trip into your, like, heart, you know? Like, you go on with an intention of what you're trying to figure out, you know? And they have this plant teacher. It's called, like, teacher plant medicine, and it helps you. It kind of guides you. It shows you what you've been hiding from. Mm-hmm. And, like, you go on this journey and you discover things that are, like, super beautiful. And it really, it's almost like 10 years of, like, shock therapy. You know, it's like, that's how incredible it is. Like, and you walk out feeling like a ray of sunshine. it's cool though. I can't really, like, get, I don't, if anyone wants to try, like, something like that, I don't want to give too much details, because, like, I don't want to give anyone expectations of what it's supposed to be, you know, but it's very beautiful.
Okay. My brother does a lot of these drinking of the tea situations, and he's been on quite a few of them, and he always comes back far more connected to himself than when he left. and the world around him. But then I think life happens and you lose it. So I think it's necessary to like keep revisiting these moments.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
I know, I like, you know what the weird thing about celebrity and like people that you look up to is, I know my brother personally, like we lived the same life and he's been saying to me, you should do it for a really long time. And then I see Frank on Instagram do it and I'm like, I should do that. I should totally do that. And Dil's like, dude, I've been telling you forever. Now you look at the stranger and I'm like, yeah, but he's family.
Yeah, no. A lot more people do it than you think too. Like a lot. Like it's cool. Try it out though. I promise. Yes.
So on Tuesday you are deserting us, but you will be back, right?
Yeah. We're not sure when, but I'm sure it's gonna be sooner than later.
Okay. Other than the documentary that we're going to be looking forward to, whenever that releases, when you guys get back together, new music, inspired by us, hopefully a little.
All inspired by Africa.
Yeah.
It's all about this next journey, you know, I'm super happy. Like there's this like heartbeat out here that the rhythms are different here. And I didn't realize till I came here, like, and I want to incorporate like new rhythms into our music and like different style of like melodies and stuff.
So, awesome. Yeah. Guys, it has been an honor to be able to interview so many times and to watch you perform live. And to see you adventure through my country. I think you've given us all different eyes because we've seen it through you. And it's been really beautiful. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
And travel safely and come back soon and tell Levi say hi.
Yes, absolutely.
I just text her in.
Thank you so much.
Remember, you can catch the full video on exotv.me and you can meet us in kind of real life. Thanks to DJ Chalk for the music. You can catch him at www.chalksprosound.co.za. New episodes on Jackpod and Exotv every Monday. Love you.